Good morning to each of you this morning. Also, greetings in the name of Jesus. Certainly been blessed already for being here. And thinking about that new song we just started learning, there's so much encouragement there in relation to power of God, the provision of God for us. And we do not need to be afraid as we face a future, because we know our God is a sovereign God and He is there before us. Glad for the presence of each one, especially the visitors here. Welcome here to the service as well. I'd like to take your thoughts to Galatians this morning. This is going to be a more practical, topical type message, but as we think about the world, the various situations across the world and society in general, and what God is asking of us as Christians in the world today, not only in society, in the community, but also in the church, in the body of believers that we are a part of, I think there are some important things here to think about. Galatians 6 and verse 2 is the text verse that we want to use. And we're going to read this, the surrounding verses in a minute here, but notice verse 2 here where we are told that it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The title of the message this morning, "The Call to Be a Burden Bearer." Bear ye one another's burdens, and in doing that, we fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ, I believe, as the scriptures point out to us, is the law of love. It's that walking in the Spirit. And so in bearing one another's burdens, we are fulfilling that law of love that Christ wants us to have in that relationship with Him and with each other. Now, we know, we all would readily agree, I believe, that we live in a sense, a very lonely and friendless world. And I'm not saying no one has friends in society and the community around us. I'm not saying it from that perspective. But when it comes right down to it, is the friendship that God wants us to have in Christian brotherhood. There's a lot of loneliness and people not knowing where to turn or who are their friends even. And I think, you know, with modern technology, that has become even worse. You know, where with social media, you know, they have these, in quotes, friends, but they could be 1,000 miles away, and just because they click a button and says, you know, "I like this that you posted," or whatever it is, or "you're a friend," or maybe someone gets unfriended, like, that isn't friendship. That's not what the scriptures point out as of interaction in human relationships. And so this morning we'd like to understand what God has for us in relation to Christian brotherhood and also our relationships with others. The burden is centered on the fact, I believe, the scriptures clearly teach that no one stands alone in Christ. We stand in Christ with our brother, with our sister. And there is to be that relationship with each other, the relationship of love, that supernatural love that Christ gives into the heart of the believer through the Holy Spirit indwelling. And so I think we understand that. We know that. But the practical outworking of it, sometimes we find difficult, and I think we, at least I do, need this encouragement that we all are called to help bear each other's burdens. Now, I'm going to read the surrounding verses. Then we'd like to look a little deeper at this. Galatians, back up to chapter 5 and verse 22, which these are familiar verses. Galatians 5:22, and I'm going to read down to verse 10 of chapter 6. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Notice here that this is written in the context of Christian brotherhood, or spiritual brotherhood, and it involves primarily in the context of brotherhood relationships. But then, of course, I think it applies beyond that to those whom we meet and those who share their struggles with us along the way. So this call comes especially, I believe, to us today in the midst of a world that I refer to as being lonely. I'm just astounded at times in visiting with people in the community how many lonely people there are out there. And I know some of you young people at times have gone and helped people that, you know, older people that need help. And how at times, you know, an older person, they have no one to turn to for help. They don't. And you just wonder, how can that be? And in thinking about, years gone by, but having spent time in a hospital various times, and hearing the nurses, you know, exclaim over the amount of visitors that we got, or the amount of support that was shown, and how that they have been amazed. We take it for granted. You know, across the community of conservative Christian people where there is, I just had to think of the letter. I'm not sure how many of you read those letters I send out from Ukraine. But that's just one little illustration. But that goes out internationally. And you're in a situation. In Christian brotherhood, there would be thousands of brothers and sisters in Christ praying for you when that's known, when there's needs. And we take that sort of for granted in the sense that it's just sort of the way it is. But most people in the world don't have it that way. They do not have that support. They do not have that backup, as it were. They do not have those to help bear their burdens and to support them. So we are living in a very fast-paced world. An independent Western culture that it works against this very thing, I believe, in relation to brotherhood and the relationship that we are to have. Are we always perfect in our reaching out and bearing each other's burdens? No. Sometimes we miss things. Sometimes we are not aware of things. Sometimes we don't realize what is happening, maybe in another person's life. But we want to, and we strive to be what God wants us to be in the Christian church today. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Again, the context of spiritual brotherhood and the working together and supporting each other. Now, I'd like to just point out what may seem like a contradiction in this passage, and that is in verse 5. You probably caught this. In verse 2, which is our text, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You get down to verse 5, and it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. So now, which is right? We're to bear each other's burdens, or we're to bear our own burden? Well, I think both is true. You know, just on the surface, reading it, there's a sense in which both is true. We have a responsibility to bear our own burdens. Now, but in the original language, verse 5 doesn't equate with bearing the burden as he talks about in verse 2, bearing one another's burdens. Verse 5 in the Greek, it has more the idea that, I should say it this way. It was sort of a local cliche or saying that was used. And in the Greek, it has the idea that every man shall have his proper reward. Every man shall have his proper reward. It is given in the context of personal accountability to God. And so in verse 2, we called to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. And you get to verse 5, well, you have in verse 4, let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, we have a personal responsibility and accountability to do what we can for each other, because we're all going to finally receive our own personal reward in life. And I think that's what verse 5 is bringing out. Now, I'd like to think for a little bit about the need for burden bearers. Why does the apostle, through the Holy Spirit, call us to bear one another's burdens? Well, very simply, it's because there's a lot of burdens to be borne. There's a lot of burdens to be borne. Some of these are obvious. Many of these are not obvious. Sometimes we were maybe surprised to understand when someone shares confidentially a burden that they're bearing. There are many burdens around us. There are many burdens in Christian brotherhood. There's many burdens that are being borne even in the context of community. We don't need to look very far or understand, you know, that there's a sense in which all of us bear some kind of burden on our heart and life and mind that maybe presents some sort of a struggle. You know, Paul talked about that thorn in the flesh. That was a burden for him. He asked the Lord to have it removed 3 times. And 3 times the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, if that's how it's going to be, then I'm going to glory in this, because God wants to do something in my life which is very inconvenient, and it's not by my choice. But he said, God is going to give me the strength to go through this. But what I'm saying is that was a burden for Paul. And you read there in the 2 Corinthians about what he suffered and went through, and, you know, the beatings and the imprisonment and the shipwrecks and a whole list of things that Paul faced. Those were burdens that he faced for the gospel's sake. In the end, he said, and then on top of all that, he said, the care of the churches. You know, the responsibility, the burden to help others in the churches that he started and ministered to. There's many times, and I'm sure most of us with any age at all know what it feels like to be lonely in the middle of a crowd. Have you ever felt that? I know there's a difference in temperaments and personalities here. I'm more of an introvert, as you well know, but we can be lonely. There can be people. We can be lonely in the middle of a crowd of people because of something weighing on us, a burden on our minds and hearts. We hardly know how to relate sometimes to that. I heard recently about a Christian man here in the community who lost his son. And I didn't get this directly, indirectly, but he made the comment, he said, He was in the grocery store, and there was people around laughing and talking and visiting and being happy. He said it almost made him angry. You know, how could they be happy when he was just in the middle of the grief of having just buried his son? That's a burden. We don't always know people around us, what they're dealing with, what they're struggling with. And so in the midst of a crowd, you know, someone is dealing with something internally that is a burden. Why the need? Because there are spiritual battles that constitute burdens. We notice that in verse 1 about the man overtaken with a fault or in a fault. And the responsibility, the call for us to help restore that brother to his relationship with Christ again. Remembering and helping to restore that fallen brother or sister, we're to take notice of ourselves and our own hearts. And when we understand that, when, you know, that considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, doesn't mean that maybe it could mean that we're tempted like that brother fell into that sin or whatever it is. It could mean that, but I think it also means that we're going to do it in a sense of meekness, knowing that we are made of the same stuff. You know, that we face the same temptations at times, and we understand that that's going to affect how we help our brother, realizing that, you know, I'm tempted too. And in meekness and in concern and empathy, we reach out and help. And so there are spiritual battles that constitute burdens. There may be fierce temptations, the struggles of surrender and submission at times in our lives when God sovereignly asks of something of us, you know, that is just against what we would choose. And we say, you know, why? Or we struggle with those things, the struggle of surrender and submission, when we don't really want to do what God is asking us to do. That can be a spiritual battle. The battle with wrong attitudes, interpersonal relationships, you know, where sometimes friction and irritations, you know, we struggle with the spiritual side of that. And also there can be grief and discouragement, you know, when family members or children make wrong choices. And the list could go on and on. You know, burdens that are born. Sometimes we say, well, the only, you know, all that's left is prayer. And I know what we mean by that, and I've said it too. But really, that should be the number one thing. That is the most important thing we can do. And maybe sometimes God strips us of all other options but prayer to get us on our knees. I'm not sure how all that works. I think it's been that way sometimes in my life, when we should have probably been on our knees first. And I'm not saying we never are, but I'm just saying keeping prayer at the top of the list, not as a last resort. Verse 2 here, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Why the need? Because there are some burdens that are bigger than one person can carry alone. People and we can put on a brave front because others expect, you know, us to keep on going. You know, but deep within, there is a load. As is said, sometimes it would break down a small pack horse. A load that is being borne, carried. And bigger than one person can carry alone. And that's why God has given us brothers and sisters to stand by, to support, to help. And may we do this. You know, a possible reason, I believe, for the increase in the various forms of depression and even worse, suicide in our society we see today. And I think during the last 2 years, you know, I read a statistic recently that said suicide rates in North America increased over 200% in the last 2 years. Loneliness, emptiness. People without hope, without seeing a way forward, people that had no one to stand with them many times to help carry the burden. Why the need? Because the ability to bear another's burden is the true essence of Christian faith. We talked about this in verse 2. It is to fulfill the law of Christ. It is the true essence of the Christian faith. It is the law of love. Was Jesus a burden bearer? Just think back through the stories of the Gospels and Christ's ministry and what he did to bear burdens for people. Why did the crowds, why did the masses follow him over hill and valley, wherever he went, without food many times? They just longed to be with him, to follow him. There was something attractive in Christ's ministry to those people, and they wanted more of it. Because yes, Jesus was a healer and he performed miracles and all those things. But I do believe that there was something there in his identity and empathy and identifying and helping people that comes out. He left heaven to come down to an earth. We could say that was full of broken and dirty and hateful people. And in his, I think sometimes the magnetics of his person, of who he was part of the attraction for all those poor people to follow him. At a wedding, he helped fix the results of someone's poor planning. He wept with the mourners at the tomb that he knew would soon be empty. He often went hungry and was tired so that he could feed other hungry people. And yet, he had all the power of heaven with him that he would not have ever needed to be hungry or thirsty. But he identified with the needs of humanity. He pulled Peter out of the water when it was Peter's own fault that he couldn't stay on top of the waves. He loved the rich young ruler. And I'm just struck with this, you know, when Jesus answered that rich young man of what he would do more to inherit eternal life, and Jesus put his finger on his riches, on his materialism. And the Bible says that that young man turned and walked away from Christ. And as far as we know, he probably never returned. But when Jesus first saw him and that young man came to him, the Bible says that Jesus looked on him and he loved him. He loved him. But that young man turned and walked away from that love. And we know how that can feel. To someone walk away from our love. Jesus understands that. He brightened the day for a poor widow that only gave pennies into the offering. He looked after the needs of that ragtag band of disciples and showed them what sacrificial leadership was all about. You know, at times Jesus said, you know, he referred to them as a faithless generation. One time there when they couldn't cast out the devil out of that little boy, and they came to him later and said, well, why couldn't we cast him out? You know, Jesus cast him out. And Jesus there, you know, he told them, this cometh forth, not forth, but by prayer and fasting. And Jesus, you know, when he healed that little boy, he says he groaned in his spirit. He said, you know, how long do I have to suffer this generation? You know, and Jesus understood, you know, that they were still learning and understanding and trying to incorporate the power of Christ into their life. Jesus also tenderly reached the sop to Judas as a token of friendship, full well knowing what Judas was about to do in the next hours. Think about that. A burden that Christ bore. The psalmist talks about that. Mine own familiar friend, who did eat of my bread, has lifted up his foot against me. There the prophecy of Judas' betrayal. Jesus, I believe, is the greatest burden bearer of all time and eternity. The scripture says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Talk about bearing a burden. The weight. You think about Gethsemane and the meaning of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means an olive press. There was a lot of Gethsemanes in Israel. A big rock, flat rock, with a depression carved in the middle, with grooves carved out of that depression, where they would put the olives in there, and they'd take several men and place this big stone into that depression, let it sit there for a few days as it slowly crushed those olives, and the olive oil ran out the grooves into their containers. That's a Gethsemane. And he bore that. Talk about a burden to be borne. What are some burdens to be borne today? There's spiritual burdens, temptations of the flesh and spirit, spiritual burdens like unsaved family members, spiritual needs in the brotherhood, in the Christian church, spiritual needs in the families, at times, children making wrong choices, and things like that, a spiritual burden. Remember one dear bishop brother years ago, he had a granddaughter that ran away from home and married a trucker she had met and was old enough to be her father. And remember he said, it's just like a big rock in my heart. How could it happen? Choices, spiritual burden. There's emotional burdens, unfair criticisms, misunderstandings, betrayal by friends at times, rejection and loneliness, the uncertainties of old age and the aging process. There can be economic stresses and pressures. There's sorrow and grief because of illness and death. There can be burdens because of our own mistakes at times, and the reaping of those mistakes can be an emotional burden. There are physical burdens. We talked about sickness and pain, and all those things can be burdens at times that are to be borne. Any of these and many others are, someone is probably bearing in their lives today. Someone said this, treat everyone with kindness, for everyone is having a hard time. Now, I know that sounds rather negative, because I don't think that we're always all having a hard time all the time. But you understand the point of it. There are various things that are being faced by many. The qualifications for being a burden bearer. Notice here, verse 2 again. It talks about fulfilling the law of Christ. A burden bearer is the best burden bearer, we could say, is someone who is spirit controlled. Fulfilling that law of Christ because of the law of love, the love of Christ within our hearts, to love like Christ loved. The person filled with Christ's love won't say to someone, even at times, though maybe there's some truth to it, well, it's of your own making. Or you could say, someone may say, well, I warned you. The Lord must really love you, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That's a nasty one. I don't know why we say it. Because it is not comforting. It may be true that God is bringing something into my life to sanctify me, to purify me or you. But that's not empathy. Another one would be if you would just plan a little better, you know, this type of thing would not happen, and hope you can learn for the next time, or you shouldn't let such things bother you. Wait till you face a real issue. Just a sampling of things that would not be helpful at all in helping another to bear their burden. It's not the love of Christ as he reached out to those who followed him. Chapter 5, now back up to verse 26. A true burden bearer must have a love for people. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And so in this, you know, we must understand and have a love for others. It's not something that we do to get something out of this, not desires of vainglory, that I can go around and tell everybody how many people I've counseled and helped or whatever. No, it's not desires of vainglory, but it's because of that deep love, not provoking one another or envying one another, you know, not having those kinds of relationships, but to have that divine love of Christ within our hearts, to be able to empathize the way Christ did. We also notice in these verses, chapter 6, in the first four verses, we have various words that help us to understand that a burden bearer must have a right view of himself. Notice verse 1 here, it talks about meekness. And verse 3, it talks about humility. And also in verse 3, I believe it's referring to having God's perspective of our self-worth. It says, for if a man think himself to be something, and how many times have we in our lives not been able to help another bear their burdens because we thought we were something? That's pride. He says, and then you find out that you're nothing. And then you realize you deceived yourself. So that humility, that meekness, and then I believe in verse 4, you know, a conscientious life, not dependent on the applause of men, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. It's not dependent on the applause of men, not to get attention, not to have it self-serving, but it's that humility and meekness. A true burden bearer must also have an enlarged heart. Paul told the Corinthians, he says, you know, our heart is enlarged unto you. And if you look at Paul's life, we understand the meaning of that. When he says, my heart is enlarged. In other words, I've opened myself to sacrifice. I've opened myself to persecution. I've opened myself to all the weariness and the painful watchings and all the things he referred to. I've enlarged my heart to serve you. One time he even said that it seems like the more I love you, the less I be loved. You know, he was misunderstood many times. But he said, I'm giving you my heart. Here's a quote. If we are a person who doesn't want to run any risk, feel no obligation to someone else, not have our schedule infringed upon by others, we will be a person of a small and shriveled heart who rarely recognizes the needs or struggles of the person standing right beside us. It's a challenge. Did Paul suffer for having such a big heart? Yes, he did. But he was able to see beyond his own needs, like we must see beyond our own needs, sensitive to the others' needs, unselfish, sacrificial, willing to take some risk in opening our emotional selves to the burden of someone else. Are we open to this challenge this morning of being a burden bearer? I know we are, and I believe in our congregation we have many burden bearers here, and God bless you for that. But I also know in my own heart, and also our own humanity, that we need this encouragement at times to step forward and be that person that stands beside another, being there for encouragement. How is it going? What's the struggle? How can I help you? There's also times, I believe, in this that very few words need to be said. Maybe this is a practical part in this, but I had to think of this little story. Years ago, of two little girls lived with their families across the street from each other. One little girl got sick and died. They had often played together. And the mother of the little girl, who was still living, she was in a lot of struggle because her playmate had died. And one day she said to her mother, she said, "I'm going to go over," I think it was, I forget the name exactly, it was Maggie's house, or, and visit her mother. And her mother thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder what this little girl's going to say. But she got up enough nerve to do this, and she went over, was over there for a while. After a while, she came back. And her mother said to her, "What did you say to her?" And she said, "Oh, I didn't say anything." She said, "I just climbed on her lap and sat there, and we cried together." It illustrates sometimes, and we'll maybe get to this a little bit later, but the thing of sometimes it doesn't take words. It just takes heart empathy. I've watched this at funerals, and I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm not thinking of any particular situation. But in a general sense, I watch this at funerals sometimes, where people could just cry instead of say so much. And I just give this as an encouragement to you. Like, sometimes it's just better just to just shed some tears with those who are in grief, and don't try to say a lot. There's times, you know, yes, we can say something, but just something to think about. Usually in a time like that, we don't need a lot of words. But you can touch somebody's heart, just like that little girl, sit there and cry together. How to be a burden bearer, have a non-judgmental, non-critical attitude. This goes along with what I was just talking about, but, you know, don't jump in with a lot of quick advice or answers sometimes. You know, someone may share something with you. And maybe men have more of a problem with this even than the ladies. But, you know, from a way us men usually think about things, very logical, we're going to start, you know, here's the answers. A lot of times, you know, when someone shares a struggle or a burden, you know, and, you know, for maybe encouragement or reaching out for help or encouragement, it's not many times that they don't have answers. They just need the encouragement to do what they already know. But many times we want to fix things. We want to give, you know, here's the answers, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is probably what you should do. There's times maybe to give it that kind of advice, but let's be careful with that. Because again, you know, it's maybe not exactly what is needed at the time. It may need advice. May need some very direct advice, and sometimes that is important and is needed. But we have to have the discernment to know when that is needed and when maybe just some simple understanding, and I use this word empathy, because I believe the word empathy goes deeper than sympathy. Sympathy is like, I feel sorry for you, I share your sorrow, but in empathy, we actually stand in their shoes. We actually feel what they feel. In a lot of ways. And so it's a deeper relationship. Recognize there are feelings that the other one has that we can seldom identify with. It's probably a classic story, but, you know, the poor man that was there at the viewing for his wife who had died, and somebody came through the line. It's probably just a story. Somebody came through the line there and met him and said, I just extend my sympathies to you. I just understand exactly how you feel. You know, my uncle passed away, 5 years ago. What does that mean? This is my wife that died. Totally different. And I know people mean that well. But what I'm saying is, we got to think through those things and understand that and bury another's burden. It's going to be a lot more than meets the eye. If we haven't gone through that type of experience, we don't know how it feels. We can offer hope and encouragement, of course, but as far as Christ and Him understanding it, but we don't understand it. So let's not pretend we understand something when obviously we don't. Much more than meets the eye. Be a confidential listener. Don't be too inquisitive. You know, there's times that there's burdens that people bear, that we bear, that we don't want publicized. It may have taken quite a bit of courage to even come to the point of talking to you about it. So we have to be sensitive, not ask too many, don't be too inquisitive. Be a good listener. Listen with expression. As someone said, don't be a Mount Rushmore kind of listener. I think you know what that means. In other words, show expression and identify with the person. And don't expect them to say a lot. Sometimes, a person just opens the door a little bit to the struggle of their heart. And the person can kind of, work with that and encourage them in that. Maybe they're testing subconsciously to see whether you're going to keep that confidential or if it's going to be spread all over town. That is something to think about. We also carry burdens by prayer. Pray with the person. Pray for the person. Use the power of fasting and prayer. In situations, in pleading the strength, mercy, and help of God. Be willing to open your own heart. I think there's a place to share, at times, some of our own struggles for victory. The person has to be careful with this. But I do think there's a time that people, at times in sympathy or empathy, it's helpful for them to know that we are men of like passion. Or, we face the struggles of life. And so there is a time to open ourselves as well. Not to make it into a pity party or a sob story kind of thing, but to be able to empathize in the way that, yes, I understand, I share those struggles. Be willing to empathize if you can. Not, like I said, not just sympathize, but be realistic. Stay in touch, nurture the friendship, give encouragement, show interest, ask how things are going, rejoice with them in victories won. All those things are just a part of being a burden bearer. Seek sound advice with difficult questions that may need more help. Sometimes someone says, well, I want to share something with you, but you have to promise you're never going to tell anybody. Be very careful with that. We understand at times, I understand all the time, the fact of confidentiality. And we can say in an answer to that, sometimes we can say, well, I promise I will not spread it around, but I would be very, very cautious to ever promise we would never tell anyone. Because sometimes there's been situations where there was deep need. Suppose someone was in deep struggle with suicidal thoughts or something like that, and you promised not to tell anyone. What I'm saying is you have to be careful with that. But there's ways to encourage them to get the right kind of help, of course. So seek sound advice with difficult questions. Certainly is the right time to say, well, let's get more help in this situation. Give help, hope and encouragement. It's one of the important parts, I believe, of being a burden bearer, especially in various types of struggles that people have, to give hope Because many times in a deep struggle, the struggle is lack of hope. Lack of victory, maybe, or lack of seeing a path forward. But to give hope has pulled many people back from the edge in their spiritual life or physical life even. To give hope and encouragement, there is a way forward with God's help. In closing, the rewards for being a burden bearer. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 talks about charity. This kind of love, it says, will cover a multitude of sins. Now, it's not talking about in the way that's translated that we're going to cover up sin. That's not what we're talking about. But that scripture has that kind of love, that divine agape love of Christ, as it is exercised, will prevent a multitude of sins. How many times, and I know in our congregation here, I've heard about it after the fact, and that's great. But where someone has gone to another brother or sister, and they've been able to, whether talk through something or work through something or encourage, and it was a very positive outcome. That's what we want to see. That's what God wants us to be as burden bearers. And sometimes it may be someone that is struggling, you know, spiritually, or, you know, kind of on the line a bit and where their life is going to come out. Brothers and sisters, that's an opportunity for us to be that burden bearer and go to them and encourage them and help them and walk with them through it. Another interesting side to this, and we're not going to take the time to go into this morning, and really I don't really understand it, but that is, by helping others bear their burdens, it helps us to bear our own. I don't understand how it works. Maybe it's because we're not focusing then on ourselves and our own burdens, because we're ignoring what is maybe the struggle here and reaching out to someone else, which is what God wants us to do, unselfishly, right? Because when our focus is on ourselves and my problems and my burdens and all the things that I have to deal with, I'm looking inward. But when I look outward, I go out and I help others bear their burdens and try to meet their needs, even though I feel so incapable and it's like I have so much to deal with myself. How can I help someone else? But by unselfishly reaching out and doing that, we come back to our own burdens and they're not near as big as they were before. It's a mysterious thing, but it happens. It is that way. So that is one of the rewards, I believe, of being that burden bearer. Not focusing on ourselves, focusing on helping others, and in that, our own burdens are easier to bear. Is it possible that Christ thought that way when he was burdened under the cross on the way to Calvary? I mean, his physical body was breaking down, as it were, and he was unable to take that cross. Simon was commandeered to carry it for him. Well, Hebrews says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Christ was not looking inward on the way to Calvary, bearing his cross. And this is an example, like I was just talking about, but he, for the joy that was set before him, to see all the masses of Christians throughout the ages that were going to be freed from sin in the new birth because he bore that cross to Calvary, you see. It says, I think the same principle for us in relation to bearing and ourselves on our own cross, but reaching out to others. Also, we fulfill the law of Christ. We become a channel of Christ's love to each other. I think that is what is referred to here in verse 2. Like we talked about in the beginning, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are fulfilling what God wants us to be, what Christ wants us to be in life when we are that burden bearer. There will be a reaping. There will be a reaping. I thought of that song we sing sometimes. I think it's in our folders. Working the Road. is part of being that burden bearer, making it easier for those who will follow us, those around us, those who we are traveling this road to glory with. We want to help each other along, encourage each other, lift up the feeble hands which hang down, strengthen those knees in the spiritual sense of moving forward and helping each other along on this road, making it easier for those we are traveling with and those who come behind us. May God help us this morning. We think about being a burden bearer. This is something that we probably should keep on more focused on in our hearts and minds. We can be so caught up in our own things. And those things may be ever so important, even part of our service to Christ, but let's not ignore our brothers and sisters right beside us. And also remember that we are here to help them bear their burdens, but then we also appreciate the help that we receive to bear our burdens. I appreciate the help, the encouragement I get in my life from you as brothers and sisters in helping me bear my burdens. Let's continue on together. God has a way, God has a plan for us. Let's continue faithful in this great work. Let's kneel to pray. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus and his coming to earth to face the world in flesh and blood like us, to come to show your love, to come to be that burden bearer for those who he ministered to, and even all the way down to us today. Father, we thank you for the love that he has demonstrated in each of our lives, not only in salvation, but also in the encouragement that he is to our hearts and lives through prayer, through the scriptures, through the preaching of the word, through the study of the scriptures. We also thank you this morning, Father, for the many blessings we have in Christian brotherhood and in fellowship, the encouragement we can have with each other and for each other, that we're not in this alone, but we can walk together this road. We can encourage and lift up each other when we get tired, when we get weary, when we get hurt, when we suffer, when we have grief. All those things, Father, that the devil wants to use to drag us down, to wear us out, but we are there for each other to encourage and help. And thank you, Father, for this tremendous blessing that so often we take for granted in this world of loneliness, this world of individualism, this world of that is trying to separate people and destroy people. Father, we just pray for those who have turned aside, those who have decided to take the course of the world. And we plead, Father, for them that they might understand what they've lost in this relationship, and may they find their way in repentance back to your love and your house. And so, Father, we just pray that we might be sensitive to our needs, to the needs around us, and may we be there to help and encourage as we can. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.